thought that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Odyssey.
And Michelle Christine. Did you guys hear that shh in that one?
I was trying to step out a bit.
I know, he has his name.
You have to,
jingle that's more more evolved than mine in some ways.
Yeah, you gotta pronounce it.
Michelle Christine.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I helped you with that one.
I don't think you did at all.
I did come up with how
what?
To do it. How to do it.
I don't know. I think I was nailing it right away.
Okay. So that sounds quite good, seeing as today's topic's all about happiness.
It is. It is. And seeing as we clearly make each other so happy, we thought, let's do a podcast. No, actually, the reason we have this is because I asked a friend on Facebook if she could think of any kind of podcast topics that she would be interested in. And she kind of said, you know, how are people happy, or the concept of happiness. And we kind of thought, you know, let's delve into the whole topic of happiness.
Brilliant. So, happiness. What is it? And why do so many people want it, Michelle?
Yeah, just a really, really easy thing to answer. Probably one word is usually what I'd say. But we've decided, since we're doing a podcast, we'll break it down close to an hour. Happiness is not a fish that you can catch. If you know that what song that is, feel free to tweet the podcast at Laughing Mountie. It's a Canadian band that no one's...
So it's not a virus then?
No. Okay. It's not a virus. Okay, it's happiness. I would say happiness is kind of the feeling of contentment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in your day. So, and when I always kind of think of it in this terms, like sometimes I want to pause my life. Like I want to pause a moment. And when that happens...
Like the ones for me.
Pardon?
No.
And I remember... when I wanted to pause it, and when I'd done it 5 different times, I wanted to pause it in recent memory, and all the times I wasn't with my partner, that was one of the indications that I thought that maybe I wasn't in the right relationship.
Well, going deep again. Okay.
I didn't mean to go deep, but I just think, you know, if you feel like you want to pause time because you're having... such a, like, a wonderful moment, like, you have to try to evaluate, you know, what it is and why that is, and hopefully try to increase the frequency of it by recognizing what's happening.
We all know what happiness is, even if we can't define it, you know, because we feel it, feel good, and we definitely know when we don't have it.
Most definitely we know when we don't have it.
Yeah, I think your perception life really defines... whether you're happy or not. If you have an attitude of gratitude, which rhymes, if you're just grateful for the small things, the good people in your life, they will help you with your jingle. So I was telling you before we did this about how I know someone in poker who has a brother, plays poker, and they look kind of very similar. You always know who you're playing. Because you might mistake them from behind or initially at the table, but one of them is very happy, content, talk to you about books, films, loads of stuff. The other one carries a big black cloud around with him. And I feel sad, you know, because obviously I don't know what's going on. Maybe there should be there's some sort of reason, you know, but they both play the same limits. They're both at the table. And it's night and day, literally. One of them's really happy and doesn't matter what happens. The other one's banging the table sometimes. So, yeah, you know. I think perception goes a long way. I was going to tell you about Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, you know you like dark things to contrast the good. This is written by an Auschwitz survivor, psychologist.
I actually, on my tour across Europe, I stopped in Auschwitz and I did a tour of it. So I'm a history buff, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh, fantastic. Well, he saw that, you know, certain Jews were being killed, but a lot of people that remained they, what would be the defining characteristic about whether they would make it through to the other side was their mentality, their approach. And the whole man's search for meaning, you know, they were doing some crazy things to them. But as long as you had purpose, you know, and what purpose can you find when you're in a concentration camp? It sounds super desperate. And so Viktor Frankl kept searching and he said, you know what? We have to survive so that this never happens again. And I think that's really good that they look after monuments and you know, establishments and places where these terrible atrocities occurred so that we as humanity can remind ourselves not to do them. Because not having them in the world makes people happy.
Yeah, well, and I guess you read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not all of it. Okay. I'm not a big reader, but yeah, I read some of it.
Okay.
It was well written, yeah. But I listened to the audio. I'm an audio listener.
Yes. And I think one thing that can make people quite happy is we have people there. I think your friendships that you have, your family can make you really happy. On the flip side, they can also cut you the deepest, which is kind of interesting.
They know where you're weak.
They do know where you're weak. But hopefully what makes friends good is that they tend to focus on making you happy versus unhappy. You know, those are the friends.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm very appreciative, aren't I?
Yes, definitely very appreciative.
Good to get on the pod.
Yeah, it's and I think not being shy to give people like compliments and kind of encouraging them in the things they love.
Don't be shy.
And pets are a great one too.
Well, you love my pets.
Yeah, I do.
They love you more than me.
I don't think that's true, but
he's coming in. Zorro's coming in, loving the little what is it? Low back pat.
Yeah, low back pat. Yeah,
the LBP.
Yeah, the LVP. But I think we as humans, we love and crave touch and we love and crave affection. So pets are such a great purpose for that or a great provider of that because they also don't really have the downsides that humans can have.
Well, I think the cats would freak out if they knew just how much material of them was on the internet.
Yeah, if they knew the obsession that people have, especially on like Reddit, oh my God.
It's all about us. It's all about us. What's going on?
I don't really know what humans obsession
people love the animals.
But maybe because they're a little bit more standoffish. Like a cat,
they can do funny things.
And they can ignore you as well, which I think can make people a little bit like, oh, like dogs just give it away for free.
Yeah. I've never seen, like, you know, you get a cat that looks like Hitler. I've never seen someone post a dog that looks like Hitler. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Maybe Winston Churchill, but. Yeah. Okay. British joke. Moving on. So I think something that can happen though is people find some things which think would make them happy in the short term, but actually they turn into an addiction.
Yeah.
We've mentioned before on the podcast my addiction that I'm looking to get over. And you're trying to help me by eating my chocolate fingers.
I am. That's why any chocolate in the house, I'm eating purely to help you with your addiction.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. I'm not even really enjoying it.
You could just hide it. Much. You could hide it.
Well, then it would still be there. What if you found it and ate it? So I've decided to just slowly eat it throughout my time here as a friend.
Yeah, but I was basically eating chocolate as a short-term happiness. I'd feel good about it, but I knew it was getting out of hand. I bought up all of the Easter eggs that I could find in the shop after Easter. So they're already cheap, like small ones. And then a week later, I bought as many as I could after again. That's how bad it got. It got really bad.
But did you find that?
I wasn't happy.
Yeah, so
I was eating too much and my jowls were hurting.
Like your jowls were hurting just from
chewing?
Yeah,
in the back of your cheeks. In your back of your cheeks.
And have you been to the dentist since?
No, I'm worried.
Yeah, you should be.
Oh, sugars.
Yeah.
Literally sugar.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think if I ever had something that I would fill a void. I would say that video games for me.
Oh, I love video games.
Yeah, that's what.
But again, that could be an addiction.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That I think would be my addiction that I would have done to feel happy. Like when I was in college, university, right after I graduated, I had this job. It was like being a waitress, and then I found another waitressing job. So then I had two waitressing jobs and I was trying to balance them and it was really tough. And then I got a phone call about a bar job that I'd applied to like months before. And they're like, oh, do you want like one full-time job? Isn't that better than two part-time jobs? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And then I went in and on my second training day after I got the job and quit my two waitressing jobs, they told me not to come back. And I was like, what? I just quit two jobs for this job. And
why did they tell you not to come back?
I still don't know.
It's because you're rude.
No, I was shadow training, which was literally watching someone do their job. And I talk a bit about that in one of my comedy shows, where it's like, how do you get fired from a job where your only responsibility was to watch someone else do their job? Like, how does that happen? That's impressive. And I've always wanted to know, but I was just like so shocked. I was like, you know what? What's the point? And so I just spent literally the rest of that summer getting really, really good at Call of Duty, like playing it like 8 hours a day.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, yeah. Call of Duty Black Ops. And I got pretty fucking good at it, let me tell ya. Every day for 8 hours a day.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Did you say duty?
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, so I fully prestiged. So that, like, if you're a Call of Duty fan out there, you know what that means. But yeah, I was a 15, level 50, tons of gold-plated guns, just running, gunning, going like crazy mad woman. I had a lot of fun. The thing, it was fun. And I was, like, happy, and I made some online friends. But, like, overall, when you look back, you're like, I didn't really do much for, like, the long game, per se.
And this is where happiness is kind of tied to purpose. And a lot of people, you know, I felt it. I felt it today a little bit. When I'm a little bit off my purpose, if I get distracted, you know, with the social medias, they're all telling me to be e-commerce millionaires and sign up to a training. And I'm saying, I don't really like stuff that much. And then we'll get into that later in terms of things. But what I like to do is be creative. I don't even notice that. I've got quite a knack for it. Anyway.
I like that he's rubbing his stomach as he says it. It's like weird. It's like instead of a cat that he's petting, he's literally petting his own stomach. So that's nice. It's nice when you can treat yourself like a pet and just you'll always be there.
Yeah, of course. That's my new line. You got to do something to make you happy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, when you find your purpose, and you know, I think I'm getting much closer to mine, putting in the hours... It flies by, doesn't it? We have so much fun on here.
We do. We actually do.
It's tricky kind of getting all the stuff prepared, the technical side and what we're going to talk about. But once we're done and we're flowing, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that like one symptom of happiness or sign of happiness is the fact that like time really does fly by. And I think that's why I was saying before, like I like to pause time in those moments because they're so good and like you just want to be in that state that you just don't want it to go by because happiness is also like a bit elusive in some ways because you can feel it for a while but you don't usually feel it constantly. It's a bit of a roller coaster in some ways. There's no, and some people argue that you can't feel happiness or true happiness unless you've felt the flip side, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think that it's not the number of hours you work. It's what you fill your hours with. And so, you know, if you manage to find your purpose and the thing that you want to fill it with, then it you're not thinking in terms of hours. But if you're just doing hours in a job, then you want to get back to your happy place and get back to the stuff that you like. You know, maybe some people like to go to movies or watch sports. Some people like to go to comedy shows.
They do.
And that leads to the next thing that makes you happy, which is laughter.
Laughter.
That's kind of your bag.
My forte. Yeah, laughter is the best medicine. And one of the things is cool, because as a comedian, you're like making people laugh. You also kind of laugh sometimes yourself, because, you know, maybe you do some crowd work and stuff, and it makes you laugh. And then also, you get the happiness of people coming up after the show who maybe really needed to laugh, and they tell you about it, and like you're the one that helped like change their day or brighten their day, which I also feel happiness from. It's like the fulfillment of that. So being the comedian, I get like both sides, which is pretty cool.
I came because I need to laugh.
Okay, well, that didn't creep me out at all, which was really great. That was the best thing about that moment. But yeah, I remember I wasn't doing a festival in Adelaide, Australia. and there was a couple, and I put on like a Craigslist that I had, or that there, it's called Gumtree over in Australia, and I wrote, you know, free, you know, tickets to my comedy show, and this couple was like, oh my God, like we want to come, and I said, sure, and then after, so he's like, yeah, my wife has terminal cancer, and we really needed a laugh, and thank you so much, we had a great time. And,
Jesus.
Yeah, well...
That's a bit dark, isn't
it? It's not that dark. Is it dark?
Well, they say during the Great Depression, the number one thing that people spent their money on outside of essentials was a circus, escapism. So, you know, you're providing something special there. And I think it's hard sometimes as an artist because, like we kind of talked about in the last podcast, which was about all sorts of things...
Well, you give a lot of yourself as a performer, and that's the thing that's hard is that, like, and when you do that, you're very vulnerable, you're very open, you're very, you have a career that requires, like, a lot of feedback, and it can be taxing, for sure, because it can kind of drain your battery a little bit, and so I think that that's why it's really important that when you have, you know, your downtime that you do, you fill it with good people, you fill it with your pets, or you fill it with your hobbies that you really enjoy, because, it's not easy when you have a career where you're giving so much of yourself to, because if you have a bad night on stage, or if you have someone rude at a show, or, you know, you just don't feel it from the audience, like, you don't feel great coming off the stage. Yeah. You feel the opposite.
But then... You are doing a big thing for people's lives because who else is going to do it? There are a lot of people looking to do it nowadays, but that's not to say that any one of them isn't important, because sometimes people really need a break. They really need escapism. Mm. And if those people didn't keep going and getting up on stage and getting better and then really delivering for people, it would be a less happy world, I think.
One thing we also said that makes people happy, but it's kind of interesting because what can make someone happy can also be something that makes somebody unhappy.
Like and, a song.
Well, that could be, but also like Christmas.
Oh, no. What? I feel like you're painting me into a corner.
No, not necessarily you, because it didn't. You said it didn't stress you out, but yeah.
So people were happy about rituals that we have, and fair enough, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, and there's things to look forward to throughout the year. Some people love Valentine's Day. Mm. Some people find it pressure.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really tough for people at Christmas that don't have people. That's hard.
Yeah,
but. The only reason I'm a bit concerned about Christmas is my mum, she suffers from anxiety, you see, and it's a very stressful time, and people don't realise how stressful it can be. Buying the presents, getting everything, all the ducks in line, getting that giant turkey out of the freezer at the right time, putting it in the bath, giving it a little warm bath overnight so you can put it in the oven at the right time, the right temperature, making sure the turkey's nice, all the foods, all the people, all the heads, and then... You've got the crackers. Where are the crackers? Get the crackers out. And then you've got to run around. Everyone's running around and being crazy. And it's like, oh my God, you know? And then you've got to light a pudding on fire. Do you do that?
I don't. What is that?
So the Christmas pudding comes out. You've got to put whiskey on it and light it. Oh, that can go up. Now the smoke alarm's going off. The cat's running around, scared witless. He's knocked into the empty basket of Brussels sprouts. It's gone everywhere. Because no one eats them. I actually like Brussels sprouts.
I also like Brussels sprouts.
Hey.
Yeah, high five.
Hey.
I think they're delicious.
They're great,
aren't they? I used to eat them as a kid because I was like, what are these green balls?
Mini cabbages.
And then I started eating them. I was like, these are freaking awesome.
They're amazing. There's so much flavor.
They're so good. So good.
Bit of gravy.
Yeah, like literally I'm so new. I'm like year two on loving Brussels sprouts just because I never had them before.
No, I do love a Christmas meal.
Yo, stuffing, man. Stuffing is the best. My mom makes the best stuffing on earth. On earth. I love the crispy bit on top that's like really crunchy. Oh my God. I like literally, I've tried to make it before and I can't make it as good, but like I need to start learning now because like the torch is going to be passed soon.
So I think why rituals do so well is they have a lot of factors that make people happy. They have people you love and like, hopefully.
Yes.
There is also people that have tough situations with family members and that's just the biggest nightmare. But Hopefully you're around people you love, and hopefully you're doing things you like, which is just chilling, and then the food. People love food, don't they?
We do.
You love food.
I love food. Ooh. Yes. I think most people love food, though. I don't think I'm alone on that. I mean, our pets definitely love food, too, though. Oh, my God.
They're nonstop, aren't they?
They are nonstop. Nobody loves food more than, well, I mean, people. We all love food. Let's get back to that. But I, like, after, like, when you eat a meal, like, have you ever, like, what would be your, like, favorite meal?
I think I kind of shared this a little bit with you before.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, my favourite meal growing up was my mum making spaghetti bolognese with the cheesy on the top.
Yeah.
And now I've kind of had to restrict the pasta, you know, because I don't want to put on too much weight. You should see me.
Yeah, I know, right? He's really got to watch his waist.
Yeah. He can barely distinguish me from a rake, but, you know, I don't want to go overboard. I don't want to get carried away. But if I was to go to Italy, I'd definitely have to taste the pasta. Yes. Hopefully they make it somehow a special way. And that's the same for you?
So I also loved spaghetti bolognese when I was a kid because my dad made a few meals really well. And yeah, spaghetti was one of them. Also, like, chicken fajitas were always really good. And I loved his mashed potatoes. They were good. They did not cook meat well. They overcooked meat, like steaks and all that kind of stuff.
They don't want you to eat raw meat.
No, they did not, but, like, they really overcompensated for that. So I did not know...
Crispy meat.
Well, I did not know what steak could taste like until I went to a place called Applebee's. And if
people, I know Applebee's.
Yeah, and it's not even gourmet. Like, that's the most hilarious part about Applebee's. It's super chain. It's super chain, but they made a thick steak and they wouldn't overcook it, you know, and I was just like, oh my God, food can taste so good. So you know your parents aren't good cooks if Applebee's is blowing you away. Do you know what I mean?
They do a great chocolate dessert, by the way, in Applebee's. Well, just to, thanks for that.
What kind of chocolate dessert?
It's like a sticky chocolate dessert.
That sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. So good now.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of lucky that I don't have an uber sweet tooth because I'll enjoy sweet things from time to time. But, like, you know on Survivor when they have those auctions and, like, they'll just be, like...
A jar of sweets.
Yeah, and people were, like, are just going fucking berserk. But I'm, like, I would want...
A chocolate milkshake.
I would want a cheeseburger. Like, that's what I would want.
You
want
to step it up.
Yeah, no,
get some protein in there.
I want something savory. I crave savory when I'm hungry. I crave sweet when I've ate good meals all day, and then I want, like, a little icing on the cake at the end or something like that. But anyway, I don't have to bring up Survivor again, which I always do. If I were on a desert island... And I could have, like, one meal for the rest of my life. I would literally have, like, if you go to Belfast or if you go to Dublin.
My current one is chicken burrito. But
yeah, that's mine. It's called Boojum, Boojum. And they make the best, it's like pulled chicken. And there's, like, guacamole and there's sour cream. And there's, like, fried vegetables of, like, peppers and onions, and there's, like, tomatoes,
salsa.
And cheese, and salsa, and hot sauce. I swear to God, I crave that stuff, like, really hard. I crave that. Like, I want to go back to Ireland just to go to Boojum, and then maybe see the sights. But Boojum for sure ranks as number one.
You met some really cool people there as well, right?
I met some amazing people there.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place, Ireland. Yeah, no, beautiful. Yeah. Food, people, all of that. That's what festivals have.
Festivals?
Oh, rituals, sorry.
Rituals, yeah.
And festivals have that as well.
Well, I mean, sometimes food can be questionable at festivals. They can be like, oh, here's a pizza that's overpriced. Here's a freaking bratwurst that's overpriced. And they're okay, but like...
People who are running a pizza van during a festival, killing it.
Yeah, Tony Macaroni.
Whoa, you should have named him.
What?
You can't just name him.
I don't think it's... I think it's a
it's
chain.
Good pizza, but...
But I don't think...
But it's a bit...
Tony Macaroni.
Bit pricey.
Tony Macaroni is not hurting and would not, I mean, no publicity is bad publicity when you're saying that, like, at festivals, there's, like, a pizza that's, like, the go-to for everyone that walks by.
That's true.
It's good. It's just, yeah. It's
what a name.
Tony Macaroni.
Do you think it's real?
It's got to be a chain. That's what it's got
to
be.
I think I'd like to meet Tony.
I don't even know if Tony's real. Like, with the last name Macaroni, I'm, like, questioning that completely.
Okay, so... We're kind of...
Well, making money probably makes Tony Macaroni happy.
Ooh, can you buy happiness?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Can you?
Okay. I think they did this...
And I'd like to try.
Well, studies are always, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But they said that, I think in the States, it was like, or maybe Canada, once you make like $75,000, anything you make like above that is...
Minimal happiness extra.
Yeah, minimal happiness extra. Because you can, like, if you're always struggling for money, it's going to make you stressed. If you can't buy your kids clothes to go to school, it's going to make you stressed. If you can't pay for them to go to the dentist, it's going to make you stressed. If you can't afford to pay rent, it's going to make you stressed. And stress is the killer of happiness. That's just how it is. So it can. Like, the truth is it can, because it can buy you food, it can buy you shelter, and it can buy you the things that you need for your hobbies. It can buy protections and support for your family. So I think that having a certain threshold of money does indeed create an atmosphere of happiness.
Okay, but do new things bring lasting happiness?
Do new things.
I don't think they do.
Well, that's a different story. It's when you're ongoingly paying for rent, that's not a new thing. That's you using money to sustain yourself long term or for a mortgage or whatever. But if you're buying new things, usually there's a temporary blip of happiness and then you go back to your default.
Yeah.
Like they did another study and they said that if people get things like a promotion, they'll get like a small blip of happiness, but then they will go back to their default. So if you really want to work on... I'm making your baseline happier, I think that you need to make like lifestyle changes that are permanent. Like,
oh, yeah.
Working out more.
Fitness and activity.
Yeah, fitness and activity. So I think that if you found yourself into a bit of a rut.
That releases endorphins and other good chemicals for the brain.
Mm-hmm. Probably like dopamine and
serotonin.
So yeah, I think that if you say are finding yourself falling into a bit of a rut, yet changing your diet, but on a constant, going to, say, the gym or picking up a sport or doing walks or hikes or something, but make that a constant. And then maybe trying to find, you know, hobbies or whatever that fulfill you. But, like, for that to be a permanent change in your happiness, it has to be a permanent change in your lifestyle.
Think about people that are using materialism to be happy. And it's fair enough if you just, you know, you have you're a collector of something or... You have the money for this. Most people don't have the money, hence going back to your thing. But if you do, that's fine, and it kind of makes you happy, all right. But, you know, when you get a new car, it's amazing, but then after 3 weeks, the shine's going to wear off. No matter how good the car is, it's going to not be as happy granting, you know, like a genie coming out of a lamp. It's not going to be happiness long term. Whereas a person that you value and you appreciate, that's so much more.
Well, what do you say has been things that you've done in your life? I like to always laugh. That you would you've defined as like your happiest long stretch of period of time? And like, what was it in your life that caused that long stretch of period of time? Like, what factors?
I think it was when the N64 came out.
I jumped up and down with my brother for that, so I can relate.
GoldenEye. I was GoldenEye champion at my school, so.
What does that mean?
So no one could beat me.
Nobody you knew in school could beat you at GoldenEye?
No, but then they all stopped playing me, and they all started playing Micro Machines on the PlayStation. I felt left out. That's the problem. Like, when you are just a natural talent, or player, champion at something, you want to be so good that people want to spit in your face. But then...
I don't think everyone wants that. That might be a you thing.
No, Michael Jordan. Talk to him about it. He used to be...
So you and Michael Jordan.
He used to be a tyrant on the basketball court. You know, he used to be the general, is what they used to call him, amongst his tribe, his team.
Mm.
Right? So... But, you know, success and achievement, that can make you happy.
It can.
But it might not make you friends. That's what I'm saying.
Hmm. Yeah, no, sometimes they can work in opposite of each other, that's for sure. I would not have said, I was not very good. So I don't know if you remember, well, of course you do, but Natalia, man, trying to keep her alive in GoldenEye was one of the most frustrating things ever, like running through that jungle and stuff. Do you remember that?
I think it was accurate. I do remember it, yes.
Yeah.
And then she's in that room where it's all exploding and there's monitors above.
I was so pissed at Natalia. I would just take my freaking gun. I would just shoot her right
away.
And once you die like 20 times because she's just freaking so useless and just runs off right into gunfire, you just have to do one just killing her right in the head with your gun because you're just frustrated. And that did make me happy a little bit.
No, to really answer your question, I got to say university was... one of the happiest times, not the first one, but the second one, I did it right. I didn't really give as much of a damn about all the work. And I just looked to connect with the people. There's a lot of people doing a lot of different things, having a lot of fun. That's where I found poker. One of my loves.
Yes. Yes. I would say university was probably one of the highlights of my life too. And yeah, because I mean, you're young, you don't have a lot of responsibilities, because I think responsibilities can be a bit of a dead weight on happiness in a way.
But for other people as well. You know, if they have to be somewhere at a certain time, or they got kids, or they got a girlfriend who's a bit, you know.
Or a boyfriend.
Or a boyfriend that's a bit, or, you know, in a relationship. Yeah, there's a weird thing where you really want to matchmake. Well, women do this a lot. They want to matchmake two friends. And it's the riskiest thing, because if it goes badly, they could be like, why did you set me up with that person? That's terrible.
Mm.
Or, and they know that that's your friend as well. Or if they get together, they might just mug you off.
What does that mean?
That means they just want to hang out with each other, not you anymore. Which kind of happens. You know, it's a couple thing. I saw that at uni a lot. It happened a lot.
Well, I've matchmaked a couple times and it hasn't worked out.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but I don't think it was too like savagely bad. I just thought that these two people would have gotten along, and I read it wrong. But I think that sometimes if you set people up, the pressure's too high, and if they had met casually, having drinks in a group, that they might have actually gotten together. But a blind date, that's high pressure. That's a date immediately. That's like no buildup of chemistry before, when there was no pressure.
And when you give them precautions to go out with.
Precautions?
No. Anyway, happiness. I think having an understanding relationship with someone, and when you have a level of communication, you know, that's important. Mm. So along these lines, we can transfer that kind of those feelings that we have for people to familiar things.
Mm.
So whilst new things have a short-term happiness, familiar things, they're good, aren't they?
I find familiar things make me quite happy. I don't have a lot of stuff, but I do tend to. I'm a bit sentimental. I will admit that.
She's got a motorbike helmet still.
Well, I'm not sentimental about my motorbike helmet.
You might be in the future.
Maybe, but it's already kind of like it's kind of breaking, and I tend to be more sentimental. So, like, I had a job that I really liked. I was actually working at a police impound, of all places. So when people had their cars towed, they got towed to this police impound. And I only worked there because I got my car towed once in Toronto. And I was like, oh my shit, like, where the fuck's my car? And then I had to Google it. And I was like, oh, it probably got towed because I accidentally parked in a place that, like, was illegal to park during 7 and 9 a.m.
Such a rebel.
Yeah, on Mondays through Friday. So I parked there on the weekend and forgot about it on the Monday morning. And so, yeah, I went to JP Towing in Toronto. And when I went to pick it up, it was $300 to get it out of the impound, which was ridiculous. Yeah, $300. And I didn't have a job at the time because I was doing a lot of comedy. And so I just said, hey, like, are you guys hiring? And they're like, yeah, we are. And I actually got an interview and I got the job. And I worked there for about 3 months before I went on tour to go across Canada. So I had to quit. But yeah, no, it was great. I honestly loved that job. It was like so like high energy, people always coming in either like really pissed off or like just laughing it off or like, you know, crying or what. You never know. You never knew the type of mood someone's going to be in. And it was just so interesting trying to diffuse the situation. I was a diffuser. The guy that was beside me was an antagonizer. Yes, he was.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I always killed him with kindness. People were laughing. People like would come to my comedy show. One of my biggest fans in Toronto
came.
I met him because his car got towed.
Oh, wow.
And then him and his crew ended up coming all the time to my comedy shows. Like, that's the difference, right? So, and the guy that would always he'd been working there longer than me, even like a couple years. And then one time he antagonized the wrong person that ended up working a kind of high up in the government that kind of dealt with the JP Towing getting the contract for the, from the police for the police impound portion of their towing company. And he ended up getting fired.
Gosh.
Yeah. But he deserved it. He was an antagonizer, and it always made me uncomfortable. And it made the staff uncomfortable and made the people uncomfortable. There was just no need for him to be a dick.
I'm going to call you the turnaround queen.
Okay.
Because most people getting their car towed and have no money, they're in a state of despair. You're finding a way to get behind the other side of the desk. That's amazing. And then you're getting then you're recruiting other people to come to your shows as lifelong fans. This is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. And so I remember one time, like, someone came in, and this is what you would say. You'd be like, I know you're really upset, and I know this is really expensive, and I just want to let you know I've been you. I've been you. I got my car towed.
I've been you? What?
I've been you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That means something else. I've been you.
No, like, I've been, B-E-E-N.
Oh, okay.
And I would just say, I know it sucks, but there's no way around you paying this fee, and I had to do it too. And because you can't go back in time and change it, you know, I was nice to the people that worked here, and now I'm working here. So, like, I get it. I understand it. And, you know, it'll be a learning time, and I would try to make a joke or whatever. And I just tried to, like, really, like, I would try to make them feel better.
Hang on. Is this how JP used to recruit? Because, I mean, you got the job, and then you're, like, telling other people they can get the job.
No, I mean, they didn't really. I think they kind of didn't hire that many people after me, but I don't know. It's not a place that anyone can work, though, because some people are going to be really rude to you.
Oh, no. Why would they do that?
And, like, I don't know, this is how PG this is, because there's some really funny moments that I had on that show, but I don't, or not on the show, at JP Towing, that I actually rated a few episodes of a sitcom for that.
Really?
Yeah, it was called Impounded, which I thought was a really cool name for the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wrote about 6 episodes.
And that was a sitcom?
Yeah, it was a sitcom.
Excellent. Okay, well, I actually think, if anybody's listened to some of the other episodes, a lot of stuff that we've talked about today, Michelle, around happiness, might be actually be able to trace back to our love languages. Do you remember what they were?
Yeah, well, I remember some of them. I think maybe all.
There's 5. This is from the book, 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And it's also, if you want to take a test, it's for free to find out your love language. It's a 5 with a number, lovelanguages.com.
Yeah, well, there's touch, and there's time. And good. There's, you know, services, like
acts of service.
Acts of service. And there's gifts. And I always forget this 5th one.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Obviously not high up on your list. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. But I think if we look in here, we've got the gifts in terms of, you know, old and new things. We've had...
And Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is kind of... People like opening gifts and such.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Like Black Friday, anyway.
Black Friday, maybe makes some people happy, but oh my goodness gracious. We would call it Boxing Day. That's when ours is in Canada. It's the day after Christmas.
Oh, yeah, we have that. So I think quality time is all about people.
Yes.
Because you want to spend it with your favourite people.
That's right.
That's lovely. So we've had that. Touch. Some people love a massage, a little tickle, a little stroke, a little hug, a little bear hug.
Yeah, I think so. I think touch is a great thing.
That's a good thing. It knows we're alive. We remind ourselves we're alive.
Yeah.
Acts of service. So, you know, if something's broken or something needs to be done, appreciate that. Does that make me happy? Well, yeah, it does make me happy. I don't value it as much as time or touch or maybe a little gift. But, yeah, acts of service, it's all right. And then, actually, I find myself... I said last time I didn't really value words of affirmation, like thank yous and appreciation, but I've been searching for it a lot recently, you know, maybe from a certain co-host, maybe from other people, because sometimes it's just nice to hear thank you now and again.
Yes.
But, you know, just for the stuff that you do.
Thank you enough?
Well, you said it now, but...
Well, no, I didn't say it even thanking you. I just said,
Well, please don't take it away now. Taking it away?
I guess maybe, thank you.
Well, to be fair, it's the one you don't think of a lot.
That's true.
Maybe it's not in your...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You can say it now if you want.
Well, thank you for,
That's good.
For cooking lots of food. I do eat a lot.
Well, that makes you happy.
Yeah, and most definitely.
I do like to cook.
Well, that's good.
So that's an act of service for someone else.
Well, there we go.
And that's something that brings you happiness, is actually giving to others.
It does. It does. I think, like, and you do this a lot with advice and I've heard this from other people where they say, you know, oh, like your show inspired me to do this or to take this chance or to take this risk or to write a cheeky email to, you know, one of my bosses, and I'll just sit and have lunch with people. And I really appreciate that. Like, it makes me feel good to help people. I think most people feel that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I've shared this with you before, but not in the pod.
Mm.
But when I was, I think I was 8. Or even younger than 8. I was younger than that, actually. It was year 3. How old are you in year 3?
I don't know.
Maybe before year 3 even. Year 2.
Year 2, you're probably around 8.
Did you say 8? Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So my mum used to come in, and she used to help out by letting other kids that struggled read to her. She's got a great reading voice, much better voice than mine, especially with my nasally cold at the moment. But we're working through that.
Yeah.
We're banging them out.
Yes.
It's all good, in a good way, working hard. Anyway, she got to watch me in the classroom. And you know, I was like a good monkey climbing up a tree in terms of the education system.
Right.
Check our education episode if you want to get that reference. Mm. But some people, academia comes a bit easier. And that's not to say I'm any more of a success than other people, because things like entrepreneurship or athleticism or just entertainment and lots of other things, you know, they take other skill sets. Other people just crush on. So, you know, I think school can be a bit misleading like that. But what would happen in our classroom is when you finished your work, you got to go outside and you got to play with the toys and there's a sandpit. Now, I never got to do that. And he's like, well, how's that, Josh? Because you're going to be good at this. Because when I finished my work, she saw me, I'd get up and I'd be helping other people with the work and letting them get up and go out and run outside, freeing up the other prisoners. Sorry, the other cellmates.
Mm.
Oh, the other...
students.
Students, that's what they are, yes. So yeah, definitely check out our education episode if you want to find our deeper opinions on the matter.
Yeah.
But that's what I was doing when I was a young kid. That made me happy. Obviously, it made me happier than just playing on a tow truck on my own outside. But
it might have also been cold outside.
No, it was sunny. It was sunny and nice.
In England?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just during summer.
Why were you guys in school during the summer?
During our two weeks of summer.
Maybe it's
autumn.
Stuff?
When autumn someone...
So really, guys, this story is super believable. That's what I want everyone to realize.
Ask my mum.
There's like, no holes in this.
There was also toys within the room, which you, like a section in the room, if it was bad weather outside.
Okay.
So there you go, Missy. Gosh, you try to share a little bit of love and happiness. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, a little bit of appreciation would go a long way.
Well, I think that teasing each other is also like a fun way of... giving each other happiness.
I love your banter.
Okay, good. Because you don't want to take life too seriously.
Well, no. Otherwise, it will take you.
Mm. So, I think, yeah, like a little bit of banter amongst friends is definitely something that makes me happy. I'm trying to think about what I did for other people. Like, I think my dad is much more like that than anyone I know. He's definitely a giver. You know how, like, people say give and take? My dad gives... like 80 and takes 20 or even more than that. I don't know. Like he would go to Cuba with like, it'd be like Santa Claus with just a suitcase full of like drills. He would take bicycles with him all the time and clothes and calculators and, you know, medicines and things like that. And he would just.
Amazing.
Yeah, he would just go to a village and like give it all away, and people would have like lists and lists and lists and lists of things and stuff, and then he'd come back with more and more and more. But I think that works to a point, but then eventually, if you feel like you're getting taken advantage of, then it's like a law of diminishing returns, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in terms of the happiness equation, yeah, definitely. Exactly. You have to, there's a certain balance to it, to all of this.
I think so.
You know, I thought watching Sopranos makes me happy, and it does. But then I decided to watch all of the Sopranos in 2 weeks. I wasn't so happy with the end of that. It's a bit dark.
Yeah, I think that if you do something too much so you feel like you become unproductive, the thing that makes you happy will eventually make you unhappy, like just like the chocolate addiction. Like yeah. At first it makes you happy, tastes good, it's nice, it's enjoyable, so maybe a reward, maybe you're using it as a reward for having a good night at poker. But then overindulgence on what makes you happy then makes you unhappy.
I think something excellent I picked up from you, Michelle.
Oh, man.
Was to use these little things that I enjoy as a reward rather than just binging on them. We have a binge culture over in the UK. So we have a drink binge culture, bit of an issue. You know, work hard 5 days a week and then guys are getting leathered. Women, girls, it's a big epidemic amongst women. Like they drinking said, so much yeah, on the Friday UK night or the Saturday
biggest,
night.
UK was the biggest equalizer of like men and women getting absolutely trashed. Like of 100%. All the countries, it's the UK that women are getting just as trashed as men. But then someone said, but maybe that's because it's a bit more equal, like just society wise with men and women. So it's actually a good thing. So it's like tough. It's like they feel just as free. They're making good money. They want to have fun. Nothing's holding them back. So, you know.
I do know a lot of friends who love a bottle of wine, female friends. Yeah?
Well, I think neither of us actually drink that much, which is kind of funny because there is so much alcohol here.
Well, that's because we're not drinking
it. Yeah, that's exactly right. If we were, it would be gone.
There you go. So, yeah, I think again, alcohol is definitely addictive. Of course, everyone knows this.
Yes.
People see it as an easy route to be happy, especially if you're in uncomfortable situations, going out with work colleagues, trying to make friends, people who are lack the confidence, yes. They get their Dutch courage yep. with the alcohol,
yep.
or even trying to date.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's tough to drink for some people to talk to the opposite sex.
Yeah, or even have sex for the first time with somebody can be quite nerve-wracking. So I know a lot of people that want to have a bit of liquid courage before, you know, taking a sexual first step with somebody just to try to, like, loosen the nerves or calm the nerves or whatever.
Yeah, it might help. What's your aphrodisiac? It's a pint of Stella. No. Okay. Fair enough.
And I think maybe intimacy can also make people happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to mention this. But I think alcohol is a bit of a danger one. I think it's on the addiction list, definitely. And I think it's more of a substitute than actually bringing happiness. And it's actually, alcohol is a depressant. So that's the opposite, really, if we really look at it. It's more the socialising stuff that goes around it.
Yes.
But there's a big social pressure to drink.
There is.
Yeah. And actually, what people are really wanting is kind of connection, love and connection. And you do get that with intimate relationship.
You do. Very much so. And I think that's one that's more likely to be a permanent one, which is great. Like if you see like an older couple, then they're like, they've been married for, I don't know, who knows if they're married, but let's just say that they are for like 40 years and they're just like walking and hand in hand and like, you know, just appreciating each other, appreciating a sunny day. But like, do you ever think that like people shouldn't put so much pressure on themselves to do these like big grandiose things to try to make them happy, and that if we actually just like lowered our expectations of what happiness is and like have that whole stop and smell the roses type moment, like yeah. It's easier to achieve, you know?
It's such a romantic. Yeah, I think especially with this marriage day, the wedding day, I think you can arrange a time when your friends and families and loved ones can get together and watch you kind of express your love for one another. You could do that every Thursday. No, I mean, you could do that more regularly.
No, I just more so mean just in life in general. Like,
but I mean, that's a bit crazy, isn't it? No, everyone, like, okay, Indian families save up all their money, they live with their parents, for the wedding occasion, which usually occurs over 3 days and nights, and it's just a constant, like, crazy splash out. And then crazy money has been spent on this because they saved up all their money just for this event.
Well, I've never been to one, so I can't really comment, but my friend did get married in India and invited me, and I was, like, really, really excited to go, but I knew that my partner wouldn't have gone with me, so I was kind of like, oh, well, it's hard to get the time, and, you know, hard to get the money, but then he's like, hey, do you want to go to Colorado to go snowboarding? And I was like, sure, and then I was like, oh, man, the optics of this, because now instead of going to this wedding in India, it's like, oh, no, the time, the money, and here I am on Facebook being like, oh, I'm going snowboarding in Colorado, so I was like, okay, well, but I would have gone to the wedding.
It was a partner thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think it would have been great. 3 days. Like, I know, like...
It's intense, man.
Yeah, she said it was going to be a kick-ass fucking party. And she said the food's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She put me up for free in her beautiful house in India. And I was just like, man, if I could go back in time, that would have been amazing. Because that's like a, you know, usually people only get married once and not always. But I was like, man, like, you can go snowboarding anytime, but getting invited to someone's Indian wedding? Oh, no, yeah. That's a
in India.
In India.
Wow.
I know. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So I'm a bit bummed that I missed out on that. Fear of missing out. FOMO.
Well,
I have it.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If she just had a regular event every year, you could check in now and again, you know?
But I'm more so...
That's what I'm saying is that we should be doing more frequent things that are positive in and around these things that we've identified that make us happy,
yeah,
that aren't really addiction-based things.
Yeah.
We should do it more frequently, yeah, and maybe to a lesser level, rather than just binging and being intense about it, because I know that can lead to crazy stuff.
Yeah, maybe like withdrawals. But yeah. I also meant like lowering your expectations on, like, maybe you don't always need to go on like an epic $5,000 vacation. Maybe finding things that you just like to enjoy in the here and now, like taking a stroll through a park or something like that. Maybe that's fun. Or bird watching. My mom loves to do bird watching, and then she married that now with a hobby of taking photos. And so I actually find a joy in looking through my mom's bird photos and watching my mom get better at something. Oh, I find that so joyful.
I love it when you have young kids and you've bought them this big Christmas present, and they open it and their reaction is amazing, of course.
Oh, yes.
And then you have to build it. So you take out all the pieces, and now the adult is dealing with the toy. So what's left?
What do you mean?
What's left for the kid? The kid's stuck. The kid thought it had something to play with.
But then you play with the kid with the toy.
No, but it takes you an hour to deal with the toy. So what's he going to do in that hour? What's the kid going to do?
Watch you and help you.
No.
That's what happened in my life.
A five-year-old? Yeah, yeah. A five-year-old?
Yeah, yeah.
He plays with the box.
No.
That's, yes. Imagination is everything. Please.
I have a niece, and I bought her a Lego set. And
but that's not big enough. I'm talking about a huge box. That in itself is an adventure to a kid. And that's what I'm saying about, and what you're saying, simple things can still please us. We don't have to blow the bank, you know, bank account.
Okay, I got a nice thing on the internet, a little Lego set, and her and I built it together.
That's little. I'm talking about a giant box.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course a giant box would be amazing.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. A little fort, a little truck or something like this. Boop, boop. Like, the kid's loving it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good to see you on page now. You got what I was talking about.
Well, I didn't really understand what you meant at first. I was like, you built it together and then play with it together. I didn't know you were buying them a freaking, like, you know, 8x6 box, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, you get these little kitchenette things.
Yes, yes. They have one in their basement. But honestly, they definitely play with the kitchenette the most.
There you go. They love that one.
They really do. Yeah, and we have like fake tea parties, and they always give me food and make me soup. And I love the ingredients they put in the soup. Like, they'll put in like carrots, but then they'll also put in like a banana and raspberries. And I was like, all right.
Is this real food?
No, it's a fake food, of course, in the kitchenette.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes it gets a bit real.
So someone here really does have some nieces, and then someone here is speculating more on what it's like to have nieces. And
I don't have any nieces. I didn't say I had any.
No, I know. But I'm just saying it's kind of funny because, like, I just have some, like, real world experience.
Oh.
Among kids.
Have you bought them a big box?
I want to now.
Well, there you go. You've learned something.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because, like, what makes each age group happy is different too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why, you know, it's fascinating.
But what I'm kind of saying is, if you are lost in being happy, you need to go back and watch some kids.
Yes,
because they can find happiness in anything.
They can.
A puddle. I used to love puddles when I was a kid.
Yes, you're right.
Watch this one. Watch how big I can splash this one. Sorry, I had a had something on my chest.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's rubbing himself again, and now he's trying to find an excuse for it because he noticed me watching.
Please, don't make this a thing on the pod.
Uh-huh. Don't make what a thing.
I don't do this normally. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of something.
No, and yeah, I'm sure he never
trying to get hold of this pencil that's fallen from my hand.
Okay, so what else do kids find enjoyable?
Anything. Stickers, little things like little shells, stones, like shiny stones, aka marbles.
They simply just love to run too.
I love to run.
Yeah, I was a scout leader, like our little like the young girls. I think they're called Sparks. And I went with my sister actually. She was the leader. I think I was helping. And man, they'd be like, "Can we just go run now?" And it was just like they were just begging for it. They loved running. It was just incredible. And I just was like, "Oh man, I lived vicariously through them, just like running around in circles, just happy as can be."
That's great. I used to tell my mum. These are my run shoes when I was like 5 year old. They were trainers. And I was like, "Look, mum, I can run real fast." I'd run ahead and run back. I'm like, "These shoes make me run faster." And she tells it as a joke. And it's like, I don't know whether it's advertising or whether it's actually true, but you do run faster in trainers, don't you?
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, compared
so
to...
So I wasn't wrong.
No.
So, but she tells it as a joke. Like, and you used to say, look, mummy, I run faster in these shoes.
Well, maybe she finds it joyful to poke fun at you a little bit, which I can understand.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet her so we can take a piss out of you together.
I'm always concerned about my mum knowing my friends, my people, you know, people that are close to me in my world, because she nabs them a lot.
Isn't there enough happiness?
I don't
want to
see
around?
My mum taking down another one of my friend's numbers. That's weird. Why are you texting my mum?
Whoa, so look, that was so accusatory. If you could see the way that he looked at me. Oh my God. Yeah, the woman that gave birth to you. Oh no.
Well, she's very loving and she's amazing.
Yeah.
She loves to talk, yes. So you would get on.
I do. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, maybe I got lucky, but... You know, she speaks very well.
So maybe she can be the new co-host of the podcast.
Oh, don't you go there.
I mean, maybe I'm going to nab her.
No.
Maybe I'm going to nab her.
That would be my worst nightmare. Mum, what are you doing? Oh, I'm on the podcast again.
What if she was
great? Oh my
God,
she's going to have to come on the podcast now.
Yeah, of course she is.
No. No, it's already happening.
Yeah, I'm excited for this trifecta of podcasting.
Oh, gosh.
You, me, your mom, we're three. Oh my God, the jingle's already
being
formulated.
Oh no, stop it. Stop it now. One fun thing was creating for us and making the jingle was great. I did to have a lot of happiness.
Yeah, and I guess we maybe didn't say that is that it's creation.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, co-creating and creating together, it's really great, really fun. And once you have something and you share it, every time I hear the jingle, I think, oh, yeah, you know, I played it, you talked on it, and then we sing this one together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Because when you can create something and then people can appreciate it, yeah, it's just like a really, it can be a real positive feedback loop. And sometimes it can be negative. You create stuff that people don't like, but usually you learn from that. You know, you stop doing things that, you know, people don't like and you increase doing the things that people like. And that's usually how really great things are created.
Well, the key for us was to just get going.
Yeah, because starting is always the hardest part, is it not?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and don't strive for perfection, strive for creation.
So if you learn anything from this episode today, mm-hmm. get started on things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And take out things that don't, if you can.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a complicated formula.
Simple.
Simple.
With that, we have to sing adieu.
We have to sing adieu. We have to bid adieu. Okay.
We have to bid you adieu. But at the end of the day, don't overcomplicate it. That's what kids do. They just get on with it.
Yeah, just watch kids get happy.
thought that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded.
We are the Mighty Mounties. Until next time.